Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. But here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Army veteran Gabe Hudson about renaming Army posts. Then Tony Lentilli will explain his new organization for West Point alumni. And Marine vet Jim Kirkland will discuss his Vietnam films. Of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show my friend and fellow Vietnam vet, Gabe Hudson. Gabe and I have known each other a long time. And looking at the renaming of posts, we've seen all references to any soldier who fought for the South in the Civil War have his name erased at my alma mater, West Point, and they're doing the same thing all over the nation. Indeed, not doing, they've done it. This bugs everybody I know, including Gabe, as much as it does me. So that's what we're going to talk about. Welcome, Gabe. Thank you for joining me.
It's an honor and a privilege to be with you, Denny. I should say Colonel. It's an honor to be here, Colonel.
Well, and since Gabe is a retired Lieutenant Colonel, too, we get to pick on each other. Gabe, start with a review of your time in Mother Army. It's worth noting that both Gabe and I served in Vietnam in the 101st Airborne Division. Take a minute now and give us a background.
I was very fortunate. I never wanted part of the military, but I was going to get drafted when I was a senior in college. I joined instead, took advantage of some Army programs. Thank the Lord, because I took a shipless college kid and I think made myself at least a reasonable member of society. I had just gotten married. And my wife and I got the draft papers and said, what are we going to do? And I said, well, if I go to Canada, my dad will shoot me. So let's go. And my wife said, well, for a couple of years, it'll be an adventure. 27 years later, we left. But I had the privilege of going to OCS, Officer Training School, and I went to paratrooper school, flight school. And I think I can say I served honorably for 27 years. I'm very, very proud of that.
Yes, sir. We got a lot in common there. Okay, Gabe, I think we both studied our nation's history. And in the mid-1800s, when the Civil War took place, most people were much more focused on and loyal to their states than they were to the nation. So many reasonably fought for their states when their state was invaded. And somehow that made them evil, regardless of their personal values and performance. That doesn't make any sense to me, does it to you?
It doesn't make any sense to me either, Colonel. Those people fought just like we did. They were called by their state. We were called by the feds. And they served honorably. They served their cause. Whether we think their cause was just or unjust, it really doesn't make any difference. They served their cause. When the Army went to naming these posts after the war, part of it was a healing process.
Yes.
We need to heal the North and the South. So, you know, hey, let's forget about these things. But we can't erase history. And the fact that these posts were named after generals and colonels, many soldiers like myself, I did some reviewing this morning of those. I've served at most of those posts. And I can truthfully say that my 3 years at Fort Bragg, it wasn't until my second year there when I was in the officers club and I saw the picture of General Bragg and I asked one of my fellows, who the hell is he? He was a Confederate general. I said, it looks like it. It really didn't bother me. Okay, it's Fort Bragg. Many of those soldiers that were at Fort Bragg never do that. You know, you serve at a post, unless you're a permanent party there, you probably never know why the post was named after that.
You know, that's true.
I think in the process of renaming these posts, when it gets down south, it's going to do more harm than it is good. My own belief there.
I agree with you. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're talking with retired Army vet Gabe Hudson. Gabe, at the end of the war, to try to reheal everything, one of the things they did was they let all the states name the posts in their states after their own heroes. That was part of the healing from after the Civil War. And certainly, if a person fought to protect our state, he was our hero. And that's why the posts were named like they were. Some of the guys weren't that big a hero to me when I read their history, but they were to the people who named the post. And you and I both went to Fort Benning, because that's where the Airborne School is, Ranger School, and all that sort of stuff. I've called it Benning School for Boys for a long, long time. And now all of a sudden it's got another name. Now, there's nothing wrong with the new guy they named it after, but how about all of the history, the 150 years of history of Fort Benning being Fort Benning? And now it's something else. And there's something like dozens of other posts that are being named. It's going to cost them millions of dollars to rename, do all the signs, change all the literature. And to what purpose?
Well, in my opinion, it's a waste of money. You know, I spent a lot of time at Fort Benning. I spent a lot of time at Fort Rucker being an Army aviator. And Mother Rucker, as we called it, is always going to be Fort Rucker to me, the home of Army aviation. Regardless of what the Army calls it, I think there's a lot of us old Vietnam helicopter pilots that trained at Rucker. It's going to be Mother Rucker. And that's our home. That's the home of Army aviation. We've got a lot of sweat and blood that we spent there. And changing the name to whatever it's going to be, it's not going to affect me. It's always going to be Fort Rucker, home of Army aviation, kind of my home away from home.
You know, and Fort Rucker's being renamed after Chief War Officer Michael Novosel Sr., who got the Medal of Honor. Wonderful, but I don't know what Fort Novosel means, but I know where Fort Rucker is. And Fort Benning is going to be changed to Fort Moore after General Hal Moore. He was a great man, but Fort Benning is Fort Benning. And what is gained by this? I don't get it. There's a lot of other changes that are being made, and I think that it's all part of the woke movement in our country to make things more politically correct, and that annoys the heck out of me.
It annoys me. A year ago, I wrote to my senators and never heard back. Now, I live here in the state of Michigan. I wrote my disgust at renaming these posts, and I explained my reason why, and I'd never heard a word from that. My representative in the House of Representatives at least said, yeah, I got your email. I agree. There's nothing I can do. Somebody in the government ought to step up and say, hey, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? And you brought up cost. Denny, I think the cost of this thing is absolutely astronomical when it comes to change, not only signs and literature, but what about all the letterheads that's going to to be changed? Well, who's going to go back and change this in history? Fort Benning 100 years from now, what it's going to be called, how are they going to fix that? We're trying to rewrite history here, and I totally, totally oppose.
You know, I'm just back from my reunion. I'm a West Point grad. We had Lee Barracks and statues of General Lee because he was a great general. They're all gone now. What is this? Well, I think we've already said what it is. It's baloney being forced probably in the name of political correctness or something. So we can't honor those who did well. We have to look at what sounds good. This is nonsense.
What are they going to do with the Lee Mansion in Arlington?
That's a great question.
What are they going to do? You know, the grounds there eventually, or at one time, belonged to General Lee. And how are they going to change that?
Maybe they'll make him change his name or something. I don't. This is nonsense. And it's indicative of the woke stupidity that's being forced on our nation and our military. And we citizens need to fight it. We just cannot put up with this stuff.
A question here. What are they going to do with the Confederate cemeteries that are in the South? Now, Danny, you and I both spent a lot of time in the South during our military career. I myself spent 12 years in Georgia, and I have a great respect for the people of Georgia. And there's a lot of Confederate cemeteries in there, and come Memorial Day, those are decorated. Are we going to now close those or plow them under because they're Confederate and they were Confederates? Come on, we need to heal history. We need to heal our country. We don't need to divide it more.
Well said, Gabe. Gabe, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation, and thank you for your thoughts. You're as strong a patriot as anybody I know, and I'm delighted that we see this eye to eye. Now I hope we can convince some other people to see it that way. Blessings, brother.
Thank you very much for letting me voice my opinion. You're a great patriot, and it's an honor to know you and be with you, Denny.
Hey.
You take care of yourself.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Now it's time to balance on one foot for 3 minutes, then do the same thing on the other foot. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I want you combat ready. I'll be right back.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act, so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care. We're leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted. Our key to success? You. We bring your voice to our nation's leaders so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show my friend and fellow West Pointer, Tony Lentini. Tony loves our nation and our alma mater, but like me, he's not fond of woke things that have been forced on us or the way the Association of Graduates leadership seemingly has gone along with the stuff. Unlike me, Tony is doing something about it. So welcome to the show, Tony.
Thank you, Danny. And you're doing something about it too with your radio program. So don't sell yourself short.
Hey, we ring knockers. We got to be doing something. Start by telling us about your time in the Army. Why did you want to go to West Point? What'd you do?
Well, I grew up in the Army. I'm an Army brat, and that's all I wanted to do. And if you look at recruiting nationally, something like 60% of the people who join the military voluntarily come from military families, 60 to 70% if you consider the whole family. And that was me. I wanted to serve my country. The war in Vietnam was on, and my dad was World War II in Korea. And that's why I went there. It's the only reason I went.
Okay. What branch did you go? What'd you do on active duty?
I picked Arbor, which is the tank corps, for those of you who are not military that might be listening. And my first assignment was at Fort Carson, Colorado, after all the initial training at Fort Knox. And then I ended up in the 2nd Armored Cavalry Regiment. We were on the East German and Czech borders. And I stayed in for 5 years. And then I got out to pursue a civilian career, got into energy, which because I wanted to do something important, because I think the military is important.
Well, we've got a few things in common. My first duty station was Fort Carson, Colorado, and I spent some time in Germany. So we're going to have that conversation off the air. Okay. Our whole military is having this woke stuff forced on us at all levels, and we have few, if any, senior officers that are fighting back. How much can they fight back without resigning isn't clear, but the Association of Graduates at West Point is another player. And I think one of the things that you're working to do is to help us get around that. Take us there, Tony.
Exactly, Danny. The West Point Association of Graduates really is not an association for graduates. It has evolved into just a fundraising arm, and it basically does whatever the current superintendent wants. And the current superintendent, as well as the last maybe 4 or 5, have all been pretty woke. I think a lot of flag officers, that's generals and admirals in this country, don't want to damage their lucrative post-military careers in the military-industrial complex. So they just salute smartly and go along with whatever woke ideology is presented. Now, the problem is wokeness, diversity, equity, inclusion, the critical race theory, and the transgender activism that's going on in the military, all that does is destroy unit cohesion and morale and makes it much harder to lead people into combat, get everybody on the same page, and to win wars. And that's why I've been opposed to wokeness. I just think it's totally destructive to our country. And then I'll get into the MacArthur Society in a second, but I wanted to take a breath to see if you got another question in the meantime, or should I keep going?
No, that's a good point. I mean, we have to stand up for the Army, for the military, and the purpose of the military is to kill people and break things, to be win war or to defer wars. And using the right pronouns isn't going to do that. And as Association of Graduates, we're gung-ho military people, and we want our military to do that. And we need a vehicle to let us articulate ourselves. Is that a fair statement?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, go for it, bro.
So a group of us got together and said, what can we do to influence West Point? Many of us have written the superintendent. We wrote the prior superintendent, and we submitted Freedom of Information requests to West Point, and they're either not answered, delayed way past federal law requires. It's usually about 2 weeks is a required response time, and they just ignore us. And I got to thinking, the Association of Graduates really is of no help. We can't even circulate news about West Point on our class email list because our class executive committees block that if it's anything critical of what's going on now. For example, I tried to post the Judicial Watch materials obtained under the Freedom of Information Act from West Point that prove that diversity, equity, inclusion, critical race theory, transgenderism, and all these terrible things that are just destroying unity are being taught at West Point, despite the superintendent saying they were not. And Judicial Watch was able to get actual classroom materials that prove that it is being taught there. And I wanted to circulate that to my class. And you remember, this is all West Point about West Point issues. And I was denied. I was told, oh, it's old news. It's not old news because most people have not read it. So we took a look. I got together with a lot of like-minded individuals. I'm just one of the people involved. I'm not the leader. I'm just one of the people that's actually taking action with others. And we decided we needed an alternative to the West Point Association of Graduates that would promote free discussion of issues surrounding West Point and the military in our email system, and that would basically call the AOG to task and form our own separate organization to where freedom is encouraged, where activism, where there's an issue at West Point that we disagree with, and there's a lot going there right now that we disagree with. So we formed the West Point MacArthur Society as an alternative. And we've been sending out emails to all graduates. It's very difficult because, again, we can't get our own West Point email list from the Association of Graduates because they block that. And so far, we just launched it in the beginning of February, and we've probably sent out several thousand emails and are asking other West Pointers to forward it to their friends. And so far, we've got around 270 that have signed up, many of them willing to give their time, their money, to support this. And we're just growing a lot faster than I thought we would be, but we still got a long ways to go.
Hey, I understand that. What's your call to action to our listeners? Are you asking, I think you are, all West Point grads who are at all interested in this to plug into you? Tell us how to do that.
What I would like to do is, as a call to action, is ask all West Pointers who are concerned with the direction of our military and our military academy right now. That includes all the diversity, equity, inclusion, CRT, transgenderism, and also the destruction of the honor code, because that's a whole separate issue. The honor code, it used to be a cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. And now they've been giving exemptions to people for cultural and social reasons. So you need people in the military who you can trust because people's lives are on the line. So if you're interested, go to Google search of the West Point MacArthur Society or contact me at T Caponata. That's T as in Tango, C as in Charlie, A, P as in Paul, O, N as in Nancy, A, T as in Tango, A, T Caponata at hotmail.com. And I'll send you the survey and please send it on to other West Pointers and we will form this organization and we will fight this wokeness and we will win and take back our military and there to take back our country.
And if you forget that, send something to me, Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com, Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. I'll get it to Tony. Tony, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation and thank you for the action you're taking now. I'm proud to call you brother.
Danny, I could repeat those words exactly back at you. Thank you.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, Marine vet Jim Kerlin will discuss his Vietnam film program. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice, Then take a break and stay in the area. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. It's a real pleasure to welcome to the show a Marine vet, Jim Kirlin. Jim's really involved in making Vietnam films. And as a Vietnam vet, I can't help but be interested. So welcome to the show, Jimmy, or should I say welcome aboard? What do you say to jarheads?
Well, welcome aboard's good enough, Denny. Thank you. Yeah, good enough.
Okay, Jim. Tell us about your time in the Marines. When and why did you join, and what did you do, and where did you serve?
I came from a blue-collar neighborhood in Philadelphia. I graduated from a very large Catholic boys' high school, 4,000 students in it. And when I graduated, there was nowhere really for us to go. A lot of the trades were filled up and reserve units, and we didn't want to get drafted. So we decided to make our own decision. Couple of buddies of mine, and we enlisted, and that's the way it works.
Okay, so when you enlisted, did you have a choice as to what military special you were going to get, or did you just find out once you got through?
What we did, really, we took a walk around the neighborhood to where the recruiting stations were, and we went in for little interviews, and we decided, you know, we didn't like this one, we didn't like this one, and the Marine recruiter was over top of a fish store. And we went up to see him up the steps, and he's sitting there at a wooden desk, and he said, come on in, you know. And we just had a grand old time talking to him, and he told us about the Marine Corps. And it's really a long story. It's kind of funny, though, but I don't think it's enough time for this show. So bottom line is, out of that whole thing, we enlisted.
Well, that's what a good recruiter should do, isn't it?
Yeah, he was great. And I understand when we were doing the film, apparently the scuttlebutt was that he stayed in the neighborhood and married a girl from the neighborhood. So, but we can't find him.
Okay. What did you do in the Marines? Were you a grunt? Infantryman?
Yes.
What?
I was nominated to be an 0311, which is a Marine rifleman, a grunt, classic grunt MOS. And, you know, they train you hard, you know, the training is hard and very disciplined and, you know, they get you ready. And we went from Paris Island to Camp Lejeune, Camp Geiger at Camp Lejeune. And from there, we went to Camp Pendleton and trained and before we left for Vietnam. So it was about 6 months of training for all that, you know.
Okay. And then you served in Vietnam, obviously, because we're both Vietnam vets. Okay. Yep. Somewhere along this path, you got interested in making films. Talk to us about that path. How'd that happen?
Really interesting, too. My high school had 27 killed in the war, many of whom I knew. This actually resulted from a conversation I had with a brother of a Marine that was killed in my platoon. And he said, I said, what happened when he came home? And he explained the whole thing, the ceremony and what happened to him. And it's compelling what happened. And so I figured out, I looked at my high school and they had 27 people, classmates, Marines, Army, Navy, mostly Army and Marines. And I said, nobody's telling their story. Nobody. And 50 years ago it was. And I said, plus nobody's telling the parents' story. And my mother had two nervous breakdowns, but I lived. She died a year after I came home, my father not too many years after that. So the stress was given on the Gold, let's call them parents, and then Gold Star families is enormous. And I said, somebody has to tell that story. So I got to know Sean Schwartz just from being around some activities in the Irish community and whatnot. And I told him about this. And he said, why don't you call me on the phone and explain it to me? And I did. And he said, you know, I think we can do this. I said, great. And I said, it's an important message. It's a story that needs to be told because nobody was telling it. And, you know, Gold Star families then, one, they didn't have as much help as they needed. Two, they had PTSD. Three, they needed somebody to speak to. And nobody was speaking to them as much as they should. These people were in shock. And we gathered up 14 families of those 27 that were willing to come forward. And we asked each of them if they wouldn't mind telling a little bit about what their experience was the day the knock came on the door. And wasn't a dry eye in the room. And they agreed to allow us to come to their homes and be interviewed. And that's what we did. And the documentary is put together in pieces, but that's what happens. You know, you tell the message one person at a time.
That's amazing. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Marine vet Jim Kirlin. Jim, on one occasion, I was the guy who knocked on a door. So one time I had to experience being in that environment.
Yep.
And you're right. The need to reach out and support and be there for those Gold Star families is amazing. Go on with your story. So you didn't tell
about it. So this guy, this Marine was from Baltimore, Maryland, and his brother, he was 10 years old. His brother was combing, his mom was combing his hair at the door, getting ready to go out to a Catholic high school. And all of a sudden, his mother turned around and coming up the walkway were the two Marine soldiers or whatever. And she collapsed into the house and it was snowing. And he was 10 years old. He ran away, didn't know what to do. He's running up down the street, screaming and hollering, slipping all over, falling in the snow. His father was at the factory. So they had no help except for those two Marines. And eventually, of course, family arrived and all, but it's just such a punch in the gut, you know? And we've been in combat, and we know we've experienced that punch in the gut when one of our guys gets killed or anyone injured. So they did it, and it was something that I decided to do, and Sean was able to pick it up. And the families really talk about that the day they were found out. One family, which is really interesting, one family, the daughter, the soldiers went to the grocery store. The mother was shopping for Thanksgiving. Unbelievable. And they went to the grocery store. As soon as the mother saw the soldiers, she dropped the packages, collapsed on the floor, and all the bags and the cans for Thanksgiving were falling all over the place. How sad is that?
That's just amazing. I just waited at the home until the people came home. I didn't go hunting for them. There's a lot more to talk about this, but we're out of time. But are these films available? How do people get plugged into this?
Yes, you can go to Sean at AmericanVeteranMedia.org.
Spell Sean for us. There's different ways to spell it. How do you spell it?
S-H-A-W-N. Schwartz is S-W-O-R-T-S.
Jim, thank you for sharing this. This is the kind of things that are available. I'm glad this is available now for Gold Star families everywhere.
We appreciate it. And we're trying to get that. And we also did another one real quick. It was called the Edison 64. It's primarily a black school in an industrial area that 64 were killed in the war.
Folks, if you'd missed any of that, how to reach Jim, contact me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com. I'll get it to him. Jim, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation in uniform. Thank you for what you have been doing and are doing now for our Gold Star families. God bless you, brother. I'm glad we're friends.
Yeah, Danny, anytime. Thank you.
Troops, if you're a veteran who's having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at PTSDlawyers.com. That's PTSDlawyers.com. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? I want your Ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S.-only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM, and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. PatriotFoods.com. Promo code FREEDOM.
HealthVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HealthVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HealthVet.net. HealthVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it is mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners, so please do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Well, Hank, an Army vet, really appreciated the discussion on leadership. He agrees that being in a leadership position doesn't make one a leader.
Oh, Hank, you are so right. Boy, do I have a lot of stories to tell on that one.
And Charles, a Navy vet, really appreciates your support for the Second Amendment. Our nation is getting more dangerous. We must be ready to protect ourselves.
Charles, I too totally support our citizens getting trained and armed. Okay, now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 17 May 1776, British forces were forced to evacuate Boston following General George Washington's successful placement of fortifications and cannons on Dorchester Heights, which overlooks the city from the south. During the evening of March 4, American Brigadier General John Thomas, under orders from Washington, secretly led a force of 800 soldiers and 1,200 workers to Dorchester Heights and began fortifying the area. To cover the sound of the construction, American cannons, besieging Boston from another location, began a noisy bombardment of the outskirts of the city. By the morning, over a dozen cannons had been brought to the Dorchester Heights fortifications. British General Sir William Howe hoped to use the British ships in Boston Harbor to destroy the American position, but a storm set in, giving the Americans ample time to complete the fortifications and set up their artillery. Realizing their position was now indefensible, 11,000 British troops and some 1,000 Loyalists departed Boston by ship on March 17, sailing to Halifax, Nova Scotia. The bloodless liberation of Boston by the Patriots brought an end to a hated 8-year British occupation of the city. The British fleet had first entered Boston Harbor on October 2, 1768, carrying 1,000 soldiers. Having soldiers living among them in tents on Boston Common, a standing army in 18th century parlance infuriated Bostonians.
I understand that. And on 16th of March, 1802, the U.S. Military Academy, the first military academy in the United States, was founded by Congress for the purpose of educating and training young men in the theory and practice of military science. Located at West Point, New York, the academy is known as West Point. Located on the high west bank of New York's Hudson River, West Point was the site of a Revolutionary-era fort built to protect the Hudson River Valley from British attack. In 1780, Patriot General Benedict Arnold was the commander of the fort, and he agreed to surrender West Point to the British in exchange for money. However, the plot was uncovered, and Arnold fled to the British for protection. 10 years later, the growing threat of another war with Great Britain resulted in congressional action to expand the Academy's facilities and increased the cadet corps. Beginning in 1817, the academy was reorganized by Superintendent Sylvanus Thayer, later known as the father of West Point, and the school became the nation's finest source of civil engineers. During the Mexican-American War, West Point graduates filled the leading ranks of the victorious U.S. forces, and with the outbreak of the Civil War, former classmates regretfully lined up against one another in the defense of their native states. In 1870, the first African-American cadet was admitted, and in 1976, the first female cadets. The academy has an enrollment of over 4,000 students.
Something really to be proud of, Colonel.
I have to admit, I am.
And on 14 March 1863, during the Civil War, Confederate troops launched a surprise night attack against Fort Anderson in the Neuse River, North Carolina. Four Union gunboats supported by a revenue cutter and an armed schooner forced the Confederates to break off their heavy assault and withdraw. U.S. Army Colonel Jonathan Belknap wrote Commander Henry Davenport, quote, "Your well-directed fire drove the enemy from the field, covered the landing of the 85th New York, sent to the relief of the garrison, and the repulse of the rebel army was complete. Allow me, Commodore, in the name of the officers and men of my command, to express my admiration of the promptitude and skill displayed by your command on that occasion. The army is proud of the Navy," unquote. And I'm sure you have something to say about that, Colonel.
Well, I'm proud of the Navy, too, except when they play Army.
That's right.
And on 15th of March, 1916, General Pershing and his 15,000 troops chased Pancho Villa into Mexico. U.S. troops pursued the guerrillas, killing 50 on U.S. soil and 70 more in Mexico. General Pershing failed to capture Villa, who died of old age years later.
And on 15 March 1919, the American Legion was founded in Paris by 1,000 veterans of the American Expeditionary Force who met to discuss transition to civilian life and what veterans could do to help each other adjust and to work together to further the rights of veterans.
And I'm an American Legion member, so hoorah. And on the 13th of March, 1942, during World War II, the Quartermaster Corps of our Army began training dogs for the newly established War Dog Program, or Canine Corps. Well over a million dogs served on both sides during World War I, carrying messages along the complex network of trenches and providing some measure of psychological comfort to the soldiers. We stopped training dogs for military purposes after World War I. So when we got into World War II, the American Kennel Association and a group called Dogs for Defense began a movement of mobilized dog owners to donate healthy and capable animals to the Army. Training began in March of 1942, and that fall they were given the task of training dogs for the Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard as well. The Canine Corps initially accepted over 30 breeds of dogs, but the list was soon narrowed to 7, German Shepherds, Belgian Sheepdogs, Doberman Pinschers, Collies, Siberian Huskies, Mamelukes, and Eskimo dogs. They were trained for 8 to 12 weeks. After obedience training, they were sent through one of four specialized programs to prepare the dogs for sentry dogs, scout or patrol dogs, messenger dogs, or mine detection dogs. In combat duty, scout dogs proved especially essential by alerting patrols to the approach of the enemy and preventing a surprise attack.
And on 14 March 1942, during World War II, the 172-foot tender Coast Guard cutter Acacia was en route from Curaçao, Netherlands, West Indies, to Antigua, British West Indies, when she was sunk by shellfire from the German submarine U-161. The entire crew of Acacia was rescued. She was the only Coast Guard buoy tender sunk by enemy action during the war.
They were the only one sunk, and they were sunk by a submarine who used a cannon, not a torpedo. Interesting. And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, bro.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, this is interesting. A mom in Connecticut added, quote, fending off wild animals to her parental duties after a raccoon latched itself to her daughter's ankle on their front porch. The 5-year-old girl was attacked by a raccoon while waiting for the school bus to pick her up. Mom heard her child screaming and ran out to help. In a video, the woman can be seen grabbing the raccoon and throwing it off into the yard and then retreating to the safety of their home. Both the mom and little girl were treated at the local hospital for puncture wounds and lacerations. Both mother and daughter received rabies shots and are recovering from their wounds. The state police were unable to apprehend the furry-faced attacker, who remains at large.
Thanks, Colonel. While this incident may not seem quite as harrowing as an attack by an armed human criminal, it still needs to be taken seriously. We don't hear much about raccoon attacks simply because they are rare. The raccoon sees a human 10 times its size as a more dangerous predator, so they tend to run away from us when we approach. But there are three situations which can cause a raccoon to attack a human. First, if you approach their young, the mother will see you as a threat and not hesitate to attack, bite, or scratch you. If you happen to blunder into this situation, just slowly back away and let the raccoon family get on their way. Second, if the animal is cornered and can't escape, they'll gain the courage to attack, and you'll be surprised how ferocious they can be. Again, the best course of action is to back away and give the raccoon an avenue of escape. And third, and this is probably the case with this attack on a little girl, if a raccoon is sick, it becomes very irritable and aggressive. A raccoon with rabies is not in its right mind and will attack any human, dog, or other animal it comes into contact with. If you can outrun the raccoon, then do so. If you can't safely flee, then use your pepper spray, firearm, or another improvised weapon such as a large stick to fend them off. The biggest danger in raccoon attacks is bacterial infection. Their teeth wounds are very septic and can cause serious health concerns for anyone bitten. If you can get away, then call 911, and animal control in your area will do a search and try to locate and deal with the animal. Only shoot the animal if you have no other choice, and make sure you follow all firearm safety rules and the laws of your jurisdiction. Anytime you see a nocturnal animal, such as a raccoon, possum, or even a skunk, wandering around lethargically in the daylight hours, do not approach them. They are most likely sick or wounded and will attack. I understand that raccoons look cute and cuddly and furry, but you should never try to pick them up and pet them. Frontlines of Freedom salutes this mother who protected her daughter and wishes them both all the best as they heal, both physically and emotionally.
Yes, sir. Our movie of the month is entitled Zero. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and I'd appreciate getting your comments about it. Send them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, veteran Tony Lentini will discuss our need for energy. Then we'll hear about this year's Armed Forces Thanksgiving event. Then retired Army Ranger Art Doc Attaway will discuss, yes, Army Rangers. And General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud, Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.